Thank you for directing your internet connection to this sermon audio page for Geneva Orthodox Presbyterian Church. You can learn more about Geneva Presbyterian at www.genevaopc.org. Geneva meets for worship each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Let's turn together to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5, and our text is verse 16. Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. This is God's inspired word. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The grass withers and flower fades, but God's word abides forever. Let us pray. O Lord, our tongue will sing of your word, for all your commandments are right. We pray, O Lord, that what we receive from your word tonight will bear fruit in our lives for your glory. It is in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Bumper stickers are not necessarily the place to find a well-reasoned or cogent argument, but they do give us an insight into the kind of attitudes of the people who are driving the car. A few popular bumper stickers I've seen are question authority and subvert the dominant paradigm and he's not my president. One theme you see running through these statements is suspicion and resistance to anyone who holds positions of authority, especially in the modern West and in America. We have this tendency to be suspicious of anyone who is in a position of leadership and of authority. Perhaps this is why we often equate, perhaps unconsciously, authority with authoritarian or power with oppression. Wouldn't it be surprising to see bumper stickers that read, "I heart submitting to the civil magistrate," or "It's liberating to live under God's rule and authority and the authorities he has given over me"? But sadly, words like obligation, deference, lordship, and honor almost belong in a foreign language dictionary because they are so rarely used in a commendable way. Calvin remarks that the human mind is, quote, puffed up with ambitious longings and will scarcely allow itself to be submissive. The Apostle Paul, when he describes life in sin, if it can be called life at all, he diagnoses our character apart from God, and this is what he says. He says, we are by nature slanderers, Romans chapter 1, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Tonight we come to the fifth commandment, and this is the first commandment in what's traditionally been called the second table of the law. Now, we have to remember when God made the two tablets of the 10 words, that all 10 commandments, all 10 words, were on both of these tablets. One copy, one tablet, was for the people, the vassal, the servant. And the other was for God, who is in the covenant relationship, the suzerain or the lord or the master. So these two tablets are the tablets of the covenant. But historically, there's also been a distinction that has been made, and it's worth pointing out, that the first table, the first four commandments, teach us what it means to love and serve God. The first four commandments, in other words, focus on our obligation with respect to the covenant Lord. But commandments 5 through 10 bring out for us how we are to love our neighbor, our obligation to our fellow man. In other words, how we are to love God through the love of our neighbor. Now, what's remarkable is that the first four commandments begin with a foundational command: you shall have no other gods before me. And the second part of the Ten Commandments begin with this command: honor your father and your mother. One writer states that just as the relationship with Yahweh is the beginning of the covenant, so this relationship between parents and children is the beginning of society, the inevitable point of departure for every human relationship. In other words, this commandment is foundational to how we will esteem life, how we will preserve marital purity, how we will respect the possessions of others, how we will honor the truth and the name of our neighbor, and how we will guard our desires. It all starts here. Honor your father and your mother. We'll take it under 2 points. Firstly, very simply, children, honor your father and your mother. And secondly, Christians, honor the authorities over you. Firstly, children, honor your father and your mother. What does this involve? Well, three essential components. It involves respect, obedience, and gratitude. You are to respect your parents. Now, if you've heard the song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, what's notable about it is that it's asking to be given respect, to be shown respect by others. But we are often told in God's word not to demand respect, but rather to show this honor, show this respect. And so, children, you must respect your parents. And what does this mean? What does it mean to respect your parents? For one, it means to hear them out, to listen to them. You want to be all ears when dad or mom is addressing you, because your parents are concerned for you. They care about you more than you know, and they desire to impart what is good and what is wise to you. Listen to them. Here's a question. What if God came into your life with the thunder and the earthquake and the lightning and spoke to you? Certainly, you would have to pay attention. But you see, that's not how God normally speaks to his people. He ordinarily works through human means. He sets over us people that are just like us by nature and by constitution. But the Bible tells us that parents are God's representatives on earth. That to hear them speaking to us is to hear God speaking to us. The Bible says that your parents are put in your life from the very beginning for your good and for your growth. What a gift that we're not born islands unto ourselves, that we're not born flung out completely forlorn and lonely, but that we have someone, parents, fathers, and mothers, to nurture us, to tend to us, to care for us. Now notice how it's phrased, honor your father and your mother. This means there is to be no opening your ear to one, but shutting out the other. Children must show equal honor to both father and mother. You are not to pit your father against your mother. As later in the Pentateuch, or earlier in the Pentateuch, we find in Leviticus 19, each one of you shall revere his mother and his father. Or Proverbs 23, verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Respect them and the instruction they bring to bear for you. For God means to bless you and do good to you through them. Mark Twain once wrote, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand to have the man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. The reason that's funny, of course, is that the father didn't learn anything, but that Mark Twain learned something. How much his father had experienced and how much he had to impart to him. It also means obedience. That's very clear. Parents provide so much for their children, to surround them with advantages and benefits of all kinds. And children, you might wonder, what can I do to show my appreciation and gratefulness for all that my parents do for me? And really, this answer is very simple. You don't have to give them money in return. Sell yourself out to indentured servitude. You simply must obey them. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is one of those commandments that's so simple, so direct, so unambiguous, that it cuts to us. We so often ask, but what about this? Or what about that? But the child's immediate response should be one of yes, I will do it. And Jesus says, when you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. Your parents will begin to entrust more to you as you listen, as you obey. If you think about the book of Proverbs in this respect, the book of Proverbs can be read as one long extended commentary on the fifth commandment, because the voice of Proverbs is the voice of the father speaking to his son. Son, listen to me. Son, pay attention. Take my words as your necklace and as your earrings, as your adornment, because they will be life for you, my words that I impart to you. But there's also a warning in Proverbs, isn't there? Because the one who disobeys his father is the one who tastes of regret. Proverbs 5, when at the end of your life you groan, when your flesh and body are consumed and you say, how I hated discipline and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. One of my professors loved to say that if you listen and follow instructions, you might be considered a genius. Because it can be so rare that you simply say, I'm going to do what is asked of me. I'm not going to add my own opinions and inclinations into the mix. I'm going to obey. The Pharisees had a way of getting around this. They wanted to pay lip service to obeying the fifth commandment, but they got out of it. Remember this? Jesus rebukes them for this korban, that they set aside the money that they would have used to support their parents and instead gave to the temple treasury. And Jesus tells them, yeah, that looks pious and it looks exemplary because they're giving this great gift to the house of God. But in fact, they were avoiding caring for their parents. They were avoiding honoring their father and their mother. And Jesus saw through their subterfuge. This was not sincere worship of God. Rather, it was a hypocritical evasion of their duty to care for and honor their parents. Now, what are the reasons to obey? It's not because by nature parents are better than their children or have less sin. Parents, too, are sinners, and we know full well as parents our failures and our shortcomings. But as the Catechism says, part of this honor we give is also to bear patiently their failures, since it is God's will to govern by their hand. It's also not because children are smaller in stature than their parents, because pretty soon it might be that they're bigger in stature. Nor is it because parents simply know more than their children. It might be that a son or daughter receives more education than father or mother. And yet, the child is still to honor father and mother. Respect, obedience, and gratitude. Say thank you to your parents. Thank you, Mom, for the scrumptious dinner. Thank you, Dad, for plunging the toilet. Thank you for leading us in family worship. Thank you for bringing us to church to worship with God's people. George Herbert, an Anglican poet, wrote of gratefulness, "Thou hast given so much to me, give one thing more, a grateful heart, not thankful when it pleases me, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy praise." The thankfulness of the Christian children, to have their lives seasoned from the beginning with this thankful, grateful spirit. How much of a difference it makes. Colossians 3. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness and your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Your job, children, is to please your parents, to give them joy, to make them happy. And yet how our culture so often gets it backwards, as if the parents are to cater to their children and ask, well, what would make you feel good and positive? The Proverbs say, let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. The Apostle John, speaking of his spiritual children, says, I have no greater pleasure than seeing my children walk in the truth. And for parents, the call for us is to continue to guide our children in the fear of the Lord. Listen to what Luther writes about the work of parents. If parents rightly train their children to God's service, they will indeed have both hands full of good works to do. For what else are hungry, thirsty, naked, in prison, sick, strangers than the souls of your own children, with whom God makes of your house a hospital and sets you over them as chief nurse, to wait on them, to give them good words and works as meat and drink, that they may learn to trust, believe, and fear God, and to place their hope in him. The environment that God has placed us in the family, is one of blessedness. The family is the first hospital, the first school, the first government in which we live. Children, honor your parents. But secondly, Christians, honor the authorities over you. Now, as we think about the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that stands out to us in how Christ lived from the beginning was a life of submission. You remember in the gospel accounts when he was a child and he had to stay behind in the temple because he says he had to be in his father's house. And as a boy of only about 12 years old, he was impressing all the teachers and the scribes with his learning, with his questions. And even though he was clearly wise and surpassed everyone in terms of his discernment, right after that account of his being in the temple, it says that he went home with his parents and was submissive and was obedient to them. Christ was obedient to his father and mother. Now think about this. Christ, who did not sin, who did not have the inclination to sin, but who had sinful parents, yet he put himself under them, respected them, honored them. At the end of his life, we find Jesus submissive once again, not dishonoring those rulers who call him to account and in which he stands trial. And if we consider it, our very salvation depends upon the reality of Jesus becoming a servant, submissive to the authorities, that beginning with childhood, filled up in the obligations of our nature by being obedient, his obedience never ceases. And even in the end, upon the cross, he tells his mother, woman, behold your son, to the Apostle John, seeing that she is taken care of, seeing that she will have a new family, to which to whom to belong. One thing this commandment teaches us is that though we grow out of living with mom and dad, we don't grow out of living under authority, do we? That in every sphere, in every context, there will be those to whom we must yield our submission. The way this word is put, it's as if to say, here's the start, and here's how you will continue to honor the authorities over you. One thing I appreciate about knowing folks in the military is that there's a rank that they know they have. And there's a station that they know where they fit in. And in a sense, we could say we should all know our rank. We should all know our posts and our positions, whether that is in the household as husband, wife, or child, or in the church as elder, deacon, or member, or in the state as magistrate or citizen. Listen to what the Westminster Larger Catechism says about such obedience. What is the honor that inferiors, that is, those who are under, owe to their superiors or authorities? The honor which we owe is all due reverence in heart, word, and behavior, prayer and thanksgiving for them, imitation of their virtues and graces, willing obedience to their lawful commands and counsels, due submission to their corrections, fidelity to defense and maintenance of their persons, and authority according to their several ranks and the nature of their places, bearing with their infirmities, covering them in love, so that they may be an honor to them and to their government. God puts authorities for the fruitfulness of his creation. If you think about it, even before living things were made in Genesis 1, God puts authorities in place. He makes the sun to do what? To rule, to govern the day. He makes the moon to rule and govern the night. Nature is organized with the authority structures that God has established. And part of the life of wisdom is fitting into that authority and fitting into those structures. And so for us, it means honoring those in the government. Remember David as he treats King Saul. Yes, David knows he's going to be the next king. And yes, he knows that King Saul has been rebellious against the Lord. And yet, David says he is the Lord's anointed. And even in tearing a piece of his robe from him, he feels this deep shame for having treated God's authority, God's anointed, in this way. Here we are definitely swimming against the tide in American society, where the first thing we do upon electing a representative or official is to draw a cartoon and make fun of their hair or their ears or their foreheads, rather than to pay them the honor that is due to them. Romans 13, let every person be subject to governing authorities. One must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. This includes paying of taxes. In this amazing theological letter, Romans, he tells us, give honor to whom honor is due, pay taxes to whom taxes are owed. Listen to how Peter puts it in his epistle to the exiles. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. The apostles did not advocate for political revolution. They weren't on a campaign to change the system of government, of Roman rule. Why? Because the message they were proclaiming was already inherently revolutionary, in the sense that Christ is risen. Christ is king. So it does not matter whether you live in a democracy or an aristocracy or a monarchy. Live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven and submit yourselves to whatever authorities there are in your time and place. What about honoring the elders in the church? We find in the New Testament these reminders. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. The book of Hebrews tells Christians to obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Say thank you to those who lead you and minister to you. Show honor to them, for they are here to serve and to minister. As Augustine writes, in the family of the just, even those who rule serve those they seem to command, for they rule not from a love of power, but from a sense of the duty they owe to others, not because they are proud of authority, but because they love mercy. In conclusion, notice the promise that is connected with this commandment, that your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Following Scripture, obeying God's commands, it does not kill our joy. It does not kill our longevity. But rather, God desires for us to flourish. He desires for us to walk in the way in which there is true joy and true delight, that it may go well with you. The promise of Jesus is that we might have life and have it abundantly. And so in obeying God's commands, we're not like square pegs trying to fit into round holes. We are doing what we are called and made to do from the beginning. Kids, how many of you like to walk around with a 50-pound sack of potatoes on your back on a daily basis? No way. Well, Scripture tells us if we want to live without the heavy burdens and the grief that comes with it, obey, honor your parents. Life will be much easier for you. Paul tells us that godliness is of advantage both in this life and in the life to come. He will reward you. God is not so unjust as to overlook your obedience, to overlook your submission. But as you yield yourself to him, as you submit to those over you, pray, Lord, give me the joy of following you and of carrying that light and easy yoke that Christ has given me. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We pray, O God, that we would run in the way of your commandments, and that we would not kick against the goads, but rather we would find your ways to be truly life and peace for us. And so, Lord, fill us with your Spirit. We know that we cannot do this in our own strength and with our own resources. We need your Spirit to give us that grace and encouragement and strength we need. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.